Thank you, ladies. The book of Philippians tonight will be in Philippians chapter number 2. And I was thinking while the young ladies were singing, man, if I had a family, or if I had small children, or wanted to have a family, and I was living somewhere in a dead church, I'd pick up and I would move to Jacksonville, Florida, and to put my family in this ministry. And you say, well, just by those girls? Yeah, those girls are psychos, I know. Especially the one that was wearing red, big time psycho. You say, well, Pastor, that's mean. How can you call those young ladies psychos? I have three of my own, so I'm an authority on the subject. But God has blessed us and done so much for us. And you say, well, Pastor, how can you say that? I just think life's too short to be in a dead church. And if I've got children, I want what's best for them. I want them to grow up in the things of the Lord and the programs. And a lot of people put a lot of things ahead of that. And I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight, but I just felt like saying that. So Philippians chapter number 2, Ms. Carroll, it's good to see you back there. And Ms. McReynolds, she likes attention, so make sure you see her tonight and continue to pray for her. She hasn't been able to be here for a little while because of her health, and we have several shut in. I want to just remind you to keep praying for them, and they would be here if they could, but it is good to see her tonight. Philippians chapter number 2, I want you to look with me at verse number 12. Of course, our series is a spiritually healthy church. I think we would all want a church that is spiritually healthy. It just makes sense, doesn't it? That the church needs to be healthy. And a lot of times, I'm going to remind us of some things because I haven't been able to be in this series for a few weeks. What does that mean? A lot of times we say, well, if the church isn't healthy, what's the church's problem? And then at the same time, we'll say, well, the church isn't the building, the church is the people. So let's connect those dots. And so if the church isn't spiritually healthy, there's a people problem. And I say all of that to say we all have a responsibility for the spiritual health of the church. Sometimes we might say, well, I wish I could help the church. I don't have a lot of money to give. I don't have any talents to offer. Well, are you spiritually healthy? Because if you're spiritually healthy, you're strengthening your church. You're helping your church. And if you imagine, I believe we're striving to do this, that if every member, wherever they are in their Christian life, just continues to grow and become healthier and healthy spiritually, boy, the church is gonna grow as well. And so, of course, that's the backdrop of this series. But look at Philippians chapter number 2. Let's begin reading verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul is writing to the church of Philippi, and he's saying, you got to figure it out. And you are figuring it out, and you're doing well at this. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That's a challenge there, isn't it? You say, well, I think I'm about to get it. Well, let's check ourselves with Philippians 2:14. I did it. But did you do it without murmurings and disputings? Verse 15, why is this? That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. There's much there in that passage of Scripture, but tonight I want to take the time to look at a phrase at the beginning of verse 16, holding forth the word of life. A healthy church holds forth the word of life. There's a lot of priorities in this world, but for the church, this is the priority. It's holding forth the word of life. Father, help us tonight as we look once again into your word, this precious, precious book that we hold in our hands. Father, may we be reminded just for this moment, but also continued in our memories and our thoughts, the fact that this book we hold in our hand, blood's been shed so we can have it, price has been paid so we can hold to it. And Father, may we take advantage tonight as we allow it to speak to us. May your Spirit guide us, strengthen us, encourage us, convict us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. we see in this passage of Scripture, and we're reminded tonight, and I want to kind of get this truth across, that a healthy church realizes what has been entrusted with. A healthy church realizes that the greatest treasure is the Word of God. We have been as a church, we're thankful for what God has given us, but we understand that it's not about cathedrals. We understand it's not about standing. What do we have? We have the Word of God. That is what we have been entrusted with. Notice in our passage tonight, and this is true in these few verses, you get down to verse number 15, we're going to find a progression. We are reminded to live differently. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That's differently. You know, if all murmurings and disputings were to stop, social media would shut down. The algorithms would cease. Why is this? That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. Notice this phrase, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. The progression is we're supposed to live differently. We are supposed to live differently. Child of God, understand that. One, you can live differently because the Spirit of God dwells within you. But we are to live differently. Well, I'm saved and I'm born again, but I just don't feel like we should be different. Well, how can you be saved and not be different? We should live differently. But that's not just the goal. That's not the end goal. Notice what that next phrase is. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. If you think way back several weeks to the last week I was in this, I talked about being a light in the community. Let that light shine. But we're told among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We're supposed to let our lights shine. It's not that it doesn't shine just because we're saved. It does shine because we're saved. It does shine. We're different when we live differently. That's not shining. Sometimes they say, well, bless God, I'm not the world. My light is shining. No, you're just a different shade. That doesn't mean it's shining. Let's be honest. We can clean ourselves up, but we're still sinners. We're saved and we're sinners saved by grace. We must yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. And if we just obey that word obedience, we saw it in verse number 12. If we obey, we're going to be different. I'm not minimizing any of those things. But I'm just pointing out we're supposed to let our light shine in this world. But notice where that progression takes us next. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life. May I remind us tonight, our light is not just good behavior. I think Christians, we ought to be well behaved. But we ought to be well behaved because we are saved. We're yielding to the Spirit of God. We want to be a light. It's hard for you to go to your workplace and be cussing like everybody else, telling the same stories everybody else is saying, won't you come to Sunday school on Sunday? They may still come, but they ain't coming because of you. I'll tell you that. That's not letting your light shine. Sometimes, Christians, let's just be honest. Now, don't feel sorry for yourself, but sometimes we're treated differently when we go to work. You're not invited to things. You're left out of things. That's part of letting your light shine. That's part of the reason why God left us here, and when we're saved, He doesn't just take us to heaven. Because He wants a light to shine in a dark world. But what our light is not just our good behavior. I'm not oversimplifying this, but I want us to just get down to the point tonight. Our light is the gospel. What is the light in you? It's the gospel. It's not your winning personality. It's not your talent. Pastor, you don't know how witty I am. That's not your light. And you're not as witty as you think you are. You're witty to you. You get what I'm saying? So the light that we are commanded to shine, the light that we are admonished to shine, when we live differently, that light that does shine, it's not we have more self-discipline, although it requires self-discipline. It's not that we were just reared different, although you can be being reared in a Christian home is being reared different. But I've met some rude Christians. So what is it in you, in me, that when our light does shine, what is it that's shining? It's the gospel. It's the gospel that saved us. It's the gospel that has changed us. It's the gospel that has quickened us from death to life. That is what people see in you when you don't participate in all the things. It's not like, well, he just lives at a different standard. It's the gospel inside of you that has changed you. That's what people see. So what we are to do is we're to hold forth the word of life. See, let me make a distinction tonight by way of introduction. The church does not just have a better idea than the world. It has God's word. We're not just have better ideals down at the church. What do we have? Our ideas are still man's ideas. Our thoughts are still corrupt. So what does the church have that the world does not have? It's this. And when you set this aside, you don't look any different from the world. You don't sound any different from the world, because that which is different is the gospel. And so when a church gets away from the gospel, the world and the church merge as far as where's the light? There's no light. Why? Because it's the gospel. See, every generation that comes along thinks they found a better answer. And this is important tonight because I mentioned this in the teachers' meeting before the service. There's a lot of talk about Bible principles and Christian principles and the followings of teaching by a lot of talking heads out there and podcasters, the Jordan Petersons of the world. And I'm not sad they're talking about the Bible, but they're just talking about it as a set of better ideas. If you follow the teachings of Jesus, then life turns out better. I'm oversimplifying what they're saying. That's a true statement. Because it's a higher level of living. But that is not the light of the gospel. That is not holding up the change of the gospel. That's different than saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's different than saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm not minimizing following those teachings. I'm just pointing out we don't have just a better idea. See, there's some around us, and I hope it's not true of us, that trust, instead of trusting the Word of God, they trust the government. Or they trust education. Well, it's like the government said so. Well, I think we've learned that if the government says so, we probably shouldn't trust it. Well, higher education says, well, we've had higher education for a long time, and we're dumber. Well, this psychologist, this and that, and I'm trying to learn myself. Well, let me help you. One verse of Scripture, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You're wicked. Now, do you know yourself? The Bible says it's a mirror. Look in it, and it'll show you what you are. But it's psychology. Wealth. There's a lot of people, they can only function by the amount of money they have. That is what they trust in. We live in a day of technology. Politics. But you realize that after thousands of years, people are still asking the same questions? I'll prove it tonight. Brother Gray, thousands of years ago, did they? No, anyway. Why am I here? You people say, why am I here? For I'm not as old as others, but I'm old enough to remember as a child in church, people asking, can I really be forgiven? And now that I'm in my 50s, that question I still hear all the time, can I be forgiven? What happens after death? That question has been, it's in the Scripture. How can I find peace? Where can I find peace? Hope? Is there any hope? And man will try all of these things, and eventually many get around and say, well, let me try church. They seem to have a different opinion. And it's not just the fact that we have a different opinion. It's what we call the word of life. It's the gospel. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is just not another way to go. It is the gospel that changes us. So understanding that, we are not trying to psychoanalyze anybody to give them what they need so they can continue in life. The answer really is as simple as Jesus. Once you have Him, it changes everything. It is simply that. Well, I just don't want to come right at Him. Well, Jesus, why wouldn't you? Yeah, hopefully Sunday I'll have the dates for the rest of the year for all of the Nights of Hope, the grief workshops. And there's an understanding in that teaching of our emotions and the way God made us, like the way we're wired. But it all points back to the Man of Sorrows. And so we don't want to give some psychology in a test tube. It is Jesus, the Creator, made you a certain way. The Man of Sorrows went to the cross. This is we feel this way. We have things to be grieving because of the fall of man. Because we're in a sin-cursed world. That's where death comes from. You get the point I'm making. We don't just have a better way of doing it. This is where a lot of these non-denominational community churches, they are, even some Baptists, even some independent Baptist churches get off, because they try and make it to where other than just holding up the gospel. Sometimes we try and make ourselves sound smart. Well, I mean, whether it sounds smart or not, turn to Jesus is the answer. So we, as a healthy church, we must realize, and we do, and we want to stay healthy. We don't just have a better way. Mom and dad, as you rear your children, you're not just deciding what is the best way for me to rear my children. Let me tell you, according to the Word of God, that's the best way. Amen. But let me break it down for you. The Creator of all things, the Creator of your child who gave them life, who before this world was ever fashioned, had your child in His mind, had created a plan and created your child for that plan, not the other way around. He didn't create a child and say, now let me create a plan. He has a plan that He wants your child to fulfill. He knows your child better than anybody. And some of you are thinking, I'm glad of that because I have no idea what to do with my child. I caught the Medford's eye back there. So I was thinking that popped in my head. So it's not a better way. It's going to the Creator and saying, what is the way? Now, it is a better way. And sometimes, and while I'm on this subject, sometimes parents will come to me and say, I don't know what to do. I can't control them. It's like, well, how long have y'all been married? I mean, I don't know what to do. They talk about their child, and sometimes it's as simple, and this is what I say to them, and sometimes it helps, and sometimes they leave more frustrated. Your kid needs to just get saved. Oh, he's 3 and a half, and he's tearing the house down. He's not ready to get saved. You're going to have to endure until he's ready. What am I saying? The only thing that changes us is salvation. It's the light of the world, but it's the holding forth the word of life. Okay, let me give you the outline tonight. You ready? Number one, a healthy church believes the Bible is the word of life. You don't live a spiritual life by philosophy. This is where we have to be careful, not merging scripture with philosophy. It was, I read this book of philosophy. All you got is philosophy. It's not the same as Bible. Positive thinking. You do have to be careful with the way you think. You have to be careful. If you're always thinking negative, you're always going to be negative. You can think your, and the Bible talks about thinking yourself happy. But you can't just be, you can't be spiritual by just positive thinking. I'll go a step further. You can't even be spiritual by religious tradition. I would submit to you that some of the most religious people in the world still today are practicing Jews. They know the law to a T. They are religious, they are tradition, they are moral, they are checking boxes, they're crossing their T's, dotting their I's. They live a very high standard, and I will tell you they're not spiritual at all. They're religious. May we be careful as Baptists to not pattern religion, but allow the word of life to make us spiritual. Because we are yielding to the Spirit of God. If you're following rules and tradition, that's better than living like a heathen. But if you're doing it just to check a box, I will submit to you tonight, you're not spiritual. Because you're not yielding to who you are as a changed individual. How many of you are saved tonight? Okay? The Bible says you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. The Bible says you have the Spirit of God living in you. So, Pastor, I'm trying to get more of the Spirit. You got all the Spirit you're going to get. But you got to give the Spirit more of you. So a healthy church believes the Bible is the key. Jesus himself said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the Bible is life. It gives us that life. Well, it's that quickening. We have life because of the Bible. It sustains our life. It transforms our life. It directs our life. Allowing the Word of God to get in you, to wash you, to cleanse you, to learn. It will transform you. And it doesn't mean, what I said earlier, doesn't mean you're not going to change to a higher standard of living, but why and how you change is the point. You change because the Word of God, the Spirit of God, salvation is changing you. Number two, a healthy church understands, and by the way, back to, before we get to number two, you know, as a healthy church, we're never going to apologize for preaching the Bible. All you do is preach the Bible. It's church. And sometimes this happens, and it's not their fault. It's because they've been fed a diet of something else. People bring their kids and be like, in Sunday school, they were just taught a Bible lesson. In children's church, they preached to them. So-and-so church had superheroes. Yeah, well, our main character conquered death. We're not going to apologize for preaching the Bible. That don't get enamored with this world. Number two, a healthy church understands the world is starving. The Old Testament prophet Amos warned of a famine, but he wasn't speaking of a famine of bread. If Christians today worried as much about the famine of the Word of God as they did the potential famine from high gas prices and the things of this world, I'm not saying that doesn't affect us, but what will create more problems and has created more problems is a famine of the Word of God. It's the hearing of the Word of the Lord. You have a church like ours now, and you come into it, one or two things happen. You come into it, and it's like, I haven't been hearing preaching. I've never been around something like this. I don't know why he's upset while he's saying it, but at least he's saying it. It is helping me, and I'm growing. Then there's some, it's like, what in the world is this? It's because they're not used to being fed the Word of God. And today, I got another message and probably some articles that I'll publish talking about the day we live in. It's not the day of previous generations when everybody knew the basics about Scripture. Everybody had been in Sunday school. Everybody that seed had been planted and watered and watered and watered. We live in a day today when you can get to adulthood, have never heard the basics of the Bible. It's more important than ever for us to understand this world is starving of the Word of God. And I believe it's a great opportunity. Because nowadays, if you have a church and say, we have our Bible studies on Sunday morning. We're going to preach the Bible. We're going to go through the basics of the Word of God. As a pastor, I'm going to challenge you to a higher way of living. But we're not getting off of the Word of God. We're going to get into the Word of God. Why is that? We understand the world's starving. People are spiritually starving. Some of them don't even realize it. They try to satisfy themselves with pleasure, success, entertainment. Some even try and satisfy themselves with religion. But the truth of the matter remains, only the Word of God satisfies the soul. Healthy churches recognize that the greatest need in our community is not economic, it's not more social programs, it's the gospel. It is absolutely the gospel. We don't have a political problem in our nation. We have a spiritual one. We don't have, our nation for decades has been creating more programs and more incentives and more programs the whole time, de-emphasizing the house of God, the Word of God. We don't take that Bible into those schools and don't teach those Bible principles, but we need more programs. We're so smart, yet we're so dumb. We can't tie together the fact that when we put the Bible out of our schools and out of that generation, and now you don't have a creator, you just came to be, and we're still evolving. We can't put together that when we tell people for generations, you come from a monkey, or you come from an animal, they start acting like animals. We understand the world's starving. By the way, this ought to help us too. Don't get mad at people who are starving to death. You find somebody living on the street that hasn't eaten in a long time? Why are you hungry? Well, I haven't eaten. What's wrong with you? Well, I'm hungry. Bless God, you're going to eat this cheeseburger right now. Open your mouth. You say, what are you doing? If you just offer it, they'll probably take it. The same is true when it comes to the gospel. People know once they are confronted with that, they understand, hey, this is something that I need. Only the Word of God satisfies the soul. Let me just say it like this. There are some of you that are here tonight, midweek Bible study, in this great crowd, and you don't know how you got here. You don't know why you're here. Because from the outside, you look at everybody on the inside and say, I have nothing in common with them. I'm not even going to like what he's teaching. I disagree with him on this and this and this and this. Another way of saying that is I'm wrong on this and this and this. But anyway, I don't. But you know what? Something happened when the Bible was opened and the pastor started preaching. His personality didn't change. He didn't transform. It's the Word of God satisfied your soul. And because you felt like you never felt before or you hadn't felt in a long time, you said, I think I'll overlook all those differences and things I don't understand and I don't even like and agree with, but I can't. Boy, it felt good for somebody to remind me that I have a God who loves me, a God who's merciful to me. Give me the truth that I can take. And in the supernatural word, that supernatural book satisfies my soul. Number three, a healthy church holds the word high. Notice our text, verse 16, holding forth the word of life. That phrase, holding forth, gives us a picture of extending something valuable for everyone to see. We're not called to hide the gospel. If somebody comes into church, I'm like, you know, we're having a big day, we want visitors to come, or it's just a normal Sunday. I'm not going to try and manipulate and trick people, entertain them for 35 minutes, and then say, aha, here's Jesus. And that's what happens in a lot of churches nowadays. We want to entertain you and make you feel good and make you feel comfortable. And right before you think you're going to get out without the gospel, we say, you need to follow Jesus. Yeah. We're not going to do that. When you come in, we're holding forth the word of life and say, see it. Look at it. This is what it's all about. In fact, the first song we sing is going to hold forth. That's why we have the music we have. That's why we sing the songs we sing. That's why we have to have some parameters, and I don't apologize for having parameters of music, because not all music, I'm not saying all music is necessarily, you know, evil, but does it point to this? And if we're coming to church and we're to hold the word of life high, then we want, as soon as you come in the door, here it is. You know, there's a lot, you know, and this is what I've tried to do, is sometimes in crisis times in our nation, it's appropriate for the pastor to give comfort to people about what's going on in our country, going on in the world, dealing with a crisis. But I mean, Republicans and Democrats are going to argue this week, next week, the week after, the week after. What we need is, when you come in, this isn't a Trump rally. This isn't a political party rally. It's the word of life. I want you to see Jesus. I've got opinions. We all have opinions. But what I try to do is hold forth the word of life. When you go to work, it's not just about your light. It is. You should let it shine. But what you are doing is you're holding forth the word of life. We're not called to hide it. Oh, man, we come to church and we have a great time at church, and the truths of God's word helps us. Boy, the music touches us, and boy, it was just a great, great God nourish my soul. All right, now I got to get all that out of me before I go to work tomorrow. I don't want anybody to know what happened yesterday. I got to get it all out of me. Some of you are going to have to work hard tonight and say, Pastor needs to cut off early. I need plenty of time before I go to work in the morning to get it out of me. Oh, we ought to glow and radiate. What are you so happy about? Oh, you should have heard the message last night. What was it on? I can't really remember, but all I know is it was good. It encouraged me. It helped me. We hold the word high. We're not to hide it, nor are we to edit it. If man will not face his own sin, he cannot be saved. This is what we are missing. There's a lot of people who have the Bible, but they're not dare going to hold forth the fact of what it means you must be born again. And I'm getting a little sidetracked, but not. We're good at, preachers are good at choosing which words. There's a difference in choose Jesus than you must be born again. We're not to edit it. When there's a call to salvation, I'm not just going to say, decide to follow Jesus. Because who in their right mind wouldn't follow Jesus? Well, that's a lot different than if you die in your sins, you're going to go to a devil's hell and pay for your sins for all of eternity. That's mean and harsh. No, it's holding forth the word of life. It's saying you're already condemned, whether I tell you or not. You're already condemned. So I might as well hold forth the word of life and tell you how not to be condemned anymore. We're not called to edit it. I kind of illustrated what I was going to say next. We're not called to soften it. I don't want people to be offended. Sometimes you got to be offended before you can make a change. Like, you know, whether you smell, somebody's got to offend you. I mean, somebody's walking around with a piece of broccoli in their teeth. I don't want to offend them. I don't want to be the one to offend them. What's offensive when you don't tell them the truth? Silly illustrations compared to eternity, but you get the point I'm making. It doesn't need to be softened. As a healthy church, we proclaim it's holding the word high. It's got to be clearly, boldly, yet compassionately and faithfully. A new generation, the generation that in the next years will come out of their nursery and sit in the church pews, they need to hear the same message with just as much passion and boldness as the previous generation. Why? Because the healthy church is holding the word high. Say, Pastor, you're gonna offend somebody. I shouldn't try to be offensive for the sake of being offensive. But the gospel offends our sin nature. The gospel offends our pride. If I preach on the gospel of Jesus Christ as scripturally and clearly as a man could possibly do, and somebody gets offended by it, that is their pride that's offended. It's not me being offensive. And it's not just the gospel. It's with the truths of these words. If I'm preaching, thus saith the Lord, it's like, well, I got offended. You're telling on yourself. Because you're saying, I'm too full of myself for the word of life to help me, to change me, to clean me. Now you're offended. Number four, a healthy church refuses to dilute the message. It's always a temptation to improve what God has established, and it cannot be improved. But the gospel, let me remind you very quickly, and I'll move on, doesn't need improvement. It needs proclamation. What did Paul remind all of us in his epistles to Timothy? Preach the word. See, as a healthy church, I believe this is true of us, and if we're going to stay a healthy church, we understand the powers in the message, not the messenger. Your pastor doesn't have the power to change a person. I mean, it's like, bring someone to me, fix him. I can't fix him. But the message, and let me help, sometimes, especially when it comes to rearing children, they get rebellious, they just seem to not have an interest, they're just pushed back, and everything you try, they can't get over that. Whatever it is, they can't get over the finish line, however you want to say it. Well, part of that is their maturity, and part of that is them being trained. But the temptation is to be, well, let me pull them back. And you're pulling them away from the very thing that can transform them. You're saying, well, there's too much pressure on them. Let me go where there's not as much pressure. What you're saying is, let me go to a place that doesn't have the word of life held as high. That's what we're saying. We can't dilute the message. The Bible still says, ye must be born again. The Bible still says, be ye holy, for I am holy. The message can't be diluted. The word of God still says to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And when we allow that, say, I want to go where it's diluted a little bit. Now, you might like the way somebody else says it better than I do, hypothetically. But if we're lowering the word, what are we saying? I'm just going to go this way just for a minute. Those that leave a church like this, they go there and talk about, oh, it's great, it's wonderful. Our pastor has love. Let me interpret that for you. Our pastor dilutes the message. And he's not going to tell. Nobody leaves a doctor's office and, bless God, he told me if I don't take this medicine, if I don't change this and this and this, I'm not going to get well. One star. They get on the internet and talk about how legalistic this doctor is. I walk in, he's looking at the chart. He's looking at my blood work. He's looking at everything about me, and he's saying, you're sick. Who does he think he is? Holding me to a medical standard. He's not God. And they storm out of there. I'm never coming back. And they don't pay their bill for that visit. There's a correlation in what I'm talking about. And they storm out like, wait till I get on the internet. Dr. So-and-so, don't go to that legalistic doctor's office. And they don't know. Well, what did they do? Told me when I looked at my blood work and what I'm made up of and looked at the medical charts and the records and said, you're sick. Oh, I can't believe those kind of doctors still exist. I know a guy, and then they all come out of the woodwork. They all hate each other before. They all come out of the woodwork. You ought to go to my doctor. What's so good about your doctor? People go there and they're never sick. He never tells them that they're sick. He never tells them. Matter of fact, I would never look at your blood work. That's between you and God. That's personal. I would never be so mean and harsh to say, well, you might want to change some of your habits. Let's ignore what the American Heart Association said. Let's ignore that. I would never condemn you with that. I'm not God. Oh, let's go there. And you know what happens? You die. And where are those people who said, you shouldn't go back? You shouldn't go back to that doctor who told you what you need to do. That's what we do with churches. We want to dilute the truth of that which makes us spiritually healthy. And you would say, how absurd for somebody to get mad when the doctor would tell. They went there in the first place. They made the appointment. Trust me, I know. It's as crazy as somebody of their own free will walking in the front doors of a church. It says church outside. I know it looks like a circus, but it says church outside. Sometimes it is a circus, but it says church outside. And it even says Baptist church. We don't pray to Mary. And they come in, and it's like, that he stood up and he read the scripture and said, God said, and what he said told me I was wrong. How dare he do that? That's between me and God. It is, and I'm just telling you what God said. And I'm never coming back there. And sadly, people live spiritually anemic lives because they dilute. Here's your prescription. Here's the dose you need to take. If you take that medicine and you dilute it down, you might as well not even take the medicine. Don't miss this point. Some disagree, but I'm 100% right. If you take that medicine and you dilute it down, it's not going to do any good for you. You can go to church light where it's diluted down and you might as well have just stayed home. Say, well, that's harsh. It's truth. Because it's not holding forth the word of life. Number five, a healthy church gives the word to every generation. There's a lot of churches that are good at preserving truth, but they don't pass it on. We should preserve it, but we should also pass it. I'm going to be honest with you. I want to indoctrinate our children. That is not a bad word. Oh, at the Emmanuel Baptist Church, they're indoctrinating the kids. I know. I can't believe that got out. We're telling the little boys that you're a boy. God created you as a boy, and we want you to grow into a toxic man. We're going so far as to say to the little girls, you're a girl, and you boys aren't girls. You are going to grow into a woman, and you're not. We're indoctrinating them into thinking that that's good. And then we, it gets worse. We tell them that there is a creator that created them. So if you ever hear a rumor, don't put your kids in that school, you'll indoctrinate them. Guilty. Isn't that better than them getting indoctrinated that maybe there's a purpose for you? Maybe you're a boy, maybe you're a girl. What do you want to be today? Isn't it better to, it's better than you just go make all your mistakes and then figure it out. No, what is it? I want to pass the truth on to every generation. I make no mistake about it. I expect the young adults to be that next generation of fundamental Christians, of Bible-believing Christians, with some conviction about themselves. And they may not be perfect, and they may not have it all figured out, and they don't, but they at least know if I go to a place where the word of life's held high, and then I want to hold it up high in my own life. Amen. Well, you don't even ever understand everything in there. That's okay. If I don't understand how a light works, but I know if I point it in darkness, I can see where I'm going. I don't have to understand every intricacy of God, although I'm trying, but I know if I hold that word of life up, it's going to help. I want all of the children, the young families, those in the nursery say, oh, I pray for them to get saved. I pray for them to be healthy. I pray for God to give them a purpose. He has a purpose revealed to them and a plan, and help us to help them do that. But make no mistake about it. I am wanting them to serve God. I'm wanting them to pick up the mantle. I'm one of those little boys to walk around with a Bible under their arm. I'm one of those little girls to say, one day I want to sit behind that piano. One day I want to stand in that Sunday school class. I'm not embarrassed about that. What is that? That's holding up the word of life. I don't want this church just to be a museum of what it was, because they held on to the truth. We should. But as a healthy church, we want to give this word to every generation. Number six, and finally, a healthy church measures success by faithfulness to the word. There are many who would say, and even I have had some friends in ministry feel sorry for me and us because we've had to have church in a tent. Because it seems like sometimes we were nomads. We faced battles, attacks, inconveniences. Why did you do that? Because we refused to compromise on that. That's success. And I'm not going to lie to you, it gets frustrating seeing some that you know compromised. And they've got this and this and this and this. But if you will permit me tonight, heaven doesn't record that as a success. As far as heaven's concerned, it's you can hold that Bible up in a cathedral or you can hold it up in the middle of a field. And we've done both. But it's all about faithfulness to the Word of God that makes it a success. See, it's not, I want us to grow. It's encouraging. We are definitely more in our attendance this year than last year. We are growing. We are going. And I want every seat full. I want to hear the complaining about there's no place to sit and we're close. And when we get there, I'm going to say, no murmurings and disputings. But I'm going to like it because that means we have grown to a point. We need some more space. But it's not just about how many you have. It's are you faithful to the Word of God? And if you're faithful to the Word of God, let me tell you what's going to happen, church. We are going to grow. Amen. We are going to be full. We are going to have those problems. But the success comes, are we faithful to the Word of God? Well, I would want to encourage every faithful preacher of the gospel, some who are on the backside of small little towns, and they're never going to have more than they have because there's no more people. But heaven says that is a success. That's front page news because it's not necessarily how many you have. It's, are we doing this? Did we faithfully proclaim God's word as a preacher? Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. There's times I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. Charles Spurgeon and Jack Hiles are pillaring over the portals of glory, listening intently, saying, I wish they could put together an outline like this. This is going to be good. And I get up and I preach it, and it's like, how come none of y'all think this is good? Because it ain't about me, the messenger. And there are times when it's like, it's the opposite of that. It's like, Lord, I'm watching that clock. It's like, can I stop now? I got to get done. This is a bomb. Nobody's there. I mean, let me get out of here. And so those messages, I'll get text after text after text. Because it's not about me. It's about just, are we faithful to just say, look, here's the word of life. Our greatest treasure is not in our buildings. It's not in how many ministries we have. Those ministries exist so that we can further extend this. It's not the talent that God has bestowed upon us, although God has given us great talent that we're to steward. Our great success is measured by how faithful we are. Parents, let me help you. I want your children to turn out for the Lord. I want them to serve God with their life. But all that's going to matter is, are you faithful to that? And if they choose to go a different way, the Bible didn't fail you. God didn't fail you. The Spirit of God didn't fail you. And let me tell you, God knew you were not perfect when he gave you those children. It's going to matter is, did I hold up this up? Did I take them to church where they were going to? Did I keep them in church where the Bible was preached? Did I point them to the scriptures? Likewise, if all of your children are serving God, don't you take credit for it. Now, it took you saying, we're going to where the word of life is held up. You're to be commended for that. That is just being faithful with the word of life. Sunday school teacher, yes, you visit, you witness, but you prepare, and on Sunday, if you've got 2 or 20, you hold up the word of life. That is, it's faithfulness. Well, I'll never get the largest class award. I'll never do. It's about, are you holding up the word of life? Now, you should want to hold it up to as many people as you possibly can. But you can fill up a room, but if you're not giving them Jesus, you're not holding up the word of life, you just had a gathering. Some are confused, but once they get in the program, they understand it. And I'll clarify that because some are just confused. Even in our nurseries, in Sunday school, they have the same Sunday school lesson as every adult class. You say, what in the world? Our 4 and 5-year-olds, they have the same lesson. Now, they have a coloring sheet with theirs. Now, some of you are going to be like, oh, I trade my breakfast on Sunday morning to have the coloring sheet. It's put down on their level. And like last week, it's like when I'm putting these lessons out, like last week was the 4 pages of the Doctrine of God. I was like, good luck. You say, but as they get in that program, they get it. They get something. So what is it? Even as a child, it's like, here's the word of life. They might not can retain what an adult can retain. In some cases, they can, depending on the adult. But it's the word of life. Let's just keep. I want to be spiritually healthy. Okay, let me help you. We hold up that word of life. Well, I got offended. Oh, it's your pride got offended. No, I was done wrong. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You say, now I'm offended, but hold up the word of life in your home, with your children, at church. It's all about this. That world's starving out there. Starving. Well, what children programs? We have children's program, but let me tell you what we also have. And if we didn't have a children's program, we would still have what's needed. We have the Word of Life. Hold up the Word of Life. Father, help us to hold up your Word. Help us.